My name's Justin. I'm one of the pastors here at Redeemer. Really glad to be with you this morning. And we're going to pause for just a moment and be with God and His Word. As we do, I want to address the kids in the room. So, kids, when I was a little one, I hated to go to bed. It was something that I dreaded every night. I think it was because I was a little bit scared. I also, even as a little guy, had a lot of what's called FOMO and didn't want to miss out on anything. And so when I went to bed, I would get really, really scared, and I'd try to get out of bed. I'd try to get my parents' attention to come back in because I didn't like to be separated from them at all at that time in the day. And so I had some things that comforted me. I had a little light that my dad made out of. He made kind of this like Dallas Cowboy, like beautiful shrine in the corner of my room that had this light that came out of it and shined the glory of the Cowboys into my presence. And I was comforted by that light. And as I got older, I had this little like square box TV that was like this big, long, and this big, like the screen was like this size, and I'd plug it in. I had a little like extension cord running up to my bunk bed, and I'd plug it in and I'd hide it under my blanket so my parents couldn't see it, and I'd watch TV, and that comforted me. Now, my kids all grew up with blankies, and some of you might have blankies. I mean, they call a comforter on a bed a comforter for some reason, right? So a blankie can be a comforter. So for my daughter, Jaden, she would take her two fingers and she'd put them in her mouth and she'd suck on her fingers and she'd pat her blankie to help her go to sleep. And it comforted her when she couldn't see us. My wife, Danette, still has a blankie that she scratches at night, maybe thinking of what it used to be when she was little, and it's comforting to her. So what I want you to do is I want you to think this morning, what's something that comforts you when you can't see your parents, when you go to bed? What's something that comforts you? Draw me a picture of that. You can show it to me after the sermon. We are talking this morning about what makes us feel anxious, especially when God is absent, when God is not present. What makes us feel anxious? In our text this morning, in John chapter 14, we're going to see three encounters that the disciples have with Jesus, and it's based on the fact, the truth, that Jesus has just told them that he is leaving. All right, hold on to that, and let's read our scripture this morning from John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Second encounter, Philip. Philip said to him, in response to all of this, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works you have seen themselves. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Hear that again. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, but he has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, help us as we come to your scripture briefly this morning. We pray that you would be with us in the places where we are anxious and afraid because we can't see you. Because you seem far from us, because the circumstances of our lives are so troubling and troublesome, because our world seems so much rift with chaos, and we wonder where you are. Meet us here in your word, by your spirit, we pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Danette is gone this weekend, and so I've been thinking about absence. I'm a little anxiously attached, and so when I go away, I'm kind of busy doing my own thing. It's not that big of a deal, but when she goes away, I find myself a lot more ill-equipped to handle life and all other things, and I'm wanting connection with her. I'm missing her. But also, there's lots of things to be done while she's away, and I get a glimmer of all the things that she does for us in our home. And I got an email this morning that Deke was supposed to have pictures tomorrow for school, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get him ready for pictures? Right? There's all these little reminders of all the absences that exist when she's not present. As we enter this text this morning, there is complete chaos that Jesus has introduced into the life of his friends. We come to Palm Sunday, where there is this expectation that the disciples are having that Jesus is going to make himself visible. In whatever way that is, some have visions of like a kingdom that's going to come, that's going to overthrow Rome perhaps. Others have this vision of of life in the temple being restored to its rightful place and its rightful order. Whatever vision they have, Jesus kind of upsets all their apple carts in the room. And he tells them in the upper room that he is not only going to leave them, and as he's washing their feet, which is also like very dysregulating for his friends, he tells them he's going to leave them. And he's going to be betrayed, and he tells Peter he's going to deny him, and he tells the rest of them they're going to desert him, and then he says, and I'm going away. And it it unleashes a bomb in the disciples' lives and hearts. And they are plagued with anxiety. And you see this in their questions that they ask. Thomas asks the question, "Where are you going? And how will we know the way?" He feels lost. I want to sit here for a second. I'm going to ask you the question, what makes you feel lost from God? Where in your life right now are you experiencing that absence, that lostness? Now, of course, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." We read that verse at funerals. It's supposed to be very comforting to us. But Thomas does not hear that as comforting. He is afraid and anxious, and he's like, "How are we going to get to where you are, Jesus? Where are you going? How will we get there?" And of course, the famous response that we like to quote a lot is Jesus says, "I am the way." And so what Jesus does into Thomas's anxiety, into his anxious question, in his feeling of lostness amidst absence, he says to him, "I am the way." We'll pack that more in a second. The next one is Philip. Philip, in response to all that he's heard, asks Jesus to show him the Father. Now, of course, Jesus rebukes Philip here gently. He rebukes him and he says, "You've been with me for a long time. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father." Now, some of us have experienced the absence of parents in very acute ways. Perhaps in the home that you grew up in, you had an absent parent. Perhaps your parent has passed. And in each of those situations and settings, we feel the way we feel shaken by the reality of not having someone who helps us understand and unpack life, who teaches us the way, and then they're suddenly gone, or maybe they were never reliable to begin with, and you feel the sense of chaos in your soul when you can't see your parent. I remember my dad was a race car driver. I would often go with him on Friday nights and Saturday nights out to the dirt track, and those races would start late and they would end late. I remember one particular time I was especially tired and sleepy, and I'm sitting up in the stands with my dad, and the next thing I know, I wake up and my head is on the lap of some person I don't really know very well, and my dad is gone. And I don't know what happened, but I remember awakening and I was freaked out. Who is this person that my head is on their lap? One. Now, it was my parent, my dad's friend. Unbeknownst to me, my dad would love to go down to the pits after a race, so he'd go down early. And so he left me, and I don't know how I slept through all the loud noises, by the way, don't ask me. Kids are amazing like that. But I'm dipped out on this guy's head on his lap, and my dad's gone, and I wake up, and I'm freaked out. And the man was so gentle and kind, and he says, "I'm going to take you to your dad." And he holds my hand, we walk down the steps, and he takes me back into the pits. And when I see my dad, I run up to him and hug him because I was afraid. What do we do in the absence of a parent, a mentor? How does that leave us unsettled? That's Philip's question. He is searching for the Father, God the Father, and he doesn't know where he is, especially now that Jesus is gone, and Jesus tells him, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." Last person, Judas. Now, Judas's question is unique, and I think it is especially apropos with Palm Sunday. He is asking the question of when are you going to reveal yourself? When are you going to manifest your kingdom in the world? When are you going to show up, God? When are you going to show up here, Jesus? We have this question, y'all. That question might be most acutely aware to us right now as we we look at our world, maybe even our very own homes, maybe our very own hearts, and we feel this absence of God. Like, I'm not changing fast enough. I can't do the most basic things in the Christian life. My family is in turmoil. My job is a wreck. When are you going to show up for me here, God? Or we look out in our world and we see the suffering and the anguish of our moment, whatever those things are. And everybody all through history has their moments. This moment's no worse than that moment. Every one of us has these moments. And we want God to act for us. This is Judas's question. If you're leaving Jesus, then when are you going to do the things you said you were going to do? Have you asked that question? When are you going to do the things you said you were going to do? That's Judas's question. The absence of God's action. And of course, Jesus responds to this in a unique way. He basically says, you don't need to worry about that. Just do what I command. And what this text is driving us to is, and the disciples to, is a trust in Jesus as he's revealed himself to them and as he will this next week, this next weekend, reveal himself to them. Because they, if you think they've been shattered so far by what happened in the upper room, just wait till Friday. They're really going to be shattered by that. And they are going to feel God's absence and Jesus' absence then more than ever. And to that, Jesus says, do what I command. And what he's driving them, what he's commanding them to do is to ultimately rest their trust, their hope, their belief in this Jesus that they've been following for the last 3 years. And so what does Jesus leave them with? Well, he leaves them with three promises. First, it's a promise of a future home. Right? The first half of the text deals with this Jesus creating this place where they will once again be with him. Now, he also interjects this with, this isn't the last time you're going to see me. Like, I'm going to stop talking to you for a bit, but this isn't the last time you're going to see me. And he's hinting at resurrection, but of course the disciples can't even get their minds wrapped around it. Their heads are dizzying just from what they've heard in the upper room. Imagine what they're going to do when they see Jesus being pulled off a cross dead. They need comfort, and what Jesus offers them, and I want you to understand this. The comfort that he's giving us isn't like, it's a difficult one. But he does give them a promise. The promise of a future home. The promise that they will see him again. The second thing he gives them is a helper. The promise of a helper. A comforter. Like, when I ask the kids to think about that thing that brings them comfort, the purpose of the Spirit is twofold. It is to provide us comfort when we think God, when we feel God's absence, when God doesn't seem near, when he seems far away, when things, circumstances in our life seem such that they're wrecking shop on us, God offers us his Spirit as a comfort. And what does the Spirit do? The Spirit points us back again to Jesus and the way Jesus animates himself in the world, which is cross and resurrection. There isn't anything more concrete that Jesus is offering his disciples here than that. It's a promise of a future, a hope that they will be reunited with God in some way, that he's going to prepare a place for them. And I'm going to leave you with a helper, and that helper is going to help you remember these words and see me and believe. Even when the absence feels great. And the last thing he leaves us with is a peace. Now, I want you to hear this. This peace, Jesus says, is not as the world gives it. It is not necessarily a removal of suffering, trial, affliction. It's not in some way going above it, somehow becoming enlightened enough that you can achieve it or realize it on your own, that you can kind of think your way to it. It is a peace that he gives. And how does he give that peace? Well, it's what's to come on Good Friday. It's his death on a cross, his unjust death on a cross, and in the hope of resurrection. That's the peace he offers to us. Not a peace that's going to be absent of all the affliction. For Jesus will go through this path to a cross. I want you to think about that, and wherever you're at right now, all the absences you feel in your life right now, and ask yourself, does this promise, this helper, and this peace provide me any peace, any rest? If we're honest this morning, chances are that we struggle with that. And yet that's what Jesus gives. Now he gives himself, he gives what he's going to do on the cross, but that's what Jesus gives us this morning in the midst of absence. And it's a peace that is unlike the world's peace, that through affliction, through suffering, you will get a place, a God who is your Father, a Jesus who reveals God as Father, and the kingdom will manifest itself in you by his Spirit as you walk that same path that Jesus walks. As you walk through these feelings of God's absence, as you walk through these feelings of loss, as you walk through death, the promise here, as you walk through that and as you believe and hope that you will show yourself in the world and you will reveal the peace that I give that is more lasting, more permanent, more redemptive than the peace the world offers. I leave that with you this morning. Let's pray. God, we acknowledge that sometimes that doesn't feel good enough. And can't you just give us like a blankie? Something more substantive to make us be able to cope with your absence in our world, in our hearts, in our families, in our lives. And yet you call us to believe in the midst of these things, in the midst of these absences, and you give us your Spirit to help us remember and recall the things you've said and the things you've done, and you invite us in this path to a future home to walk and be animated by your cross. That we would learn to live in affliction and suffering and absence in such a way that we hope and believe in you, and that you give us this peace that is a peace that is still present with us even when you don't take the stuff away. So help us, God, we ask this morning, in the midst of all of our anxieties, all of our fears. Be with us in them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.